Southern California Christian Students College Conference, Big Bear, California, November 20 through 22, 2009. Conference title, Being Desperate and Living Uniquely for the Gospel. Message 3, Go. Scripture reading, Matthew 28:19, Mark 16:15, and John 15:16.
Well, tonight we come to message 3, which has undoubtedly the shortest title in our conference history. Apparently very simple, so short that my illiterate preschooler could read it, and that is, Go!
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Go!
Amen.
Go!
Amen.
Bow to your neighbor. Incite go one a few times. Although it's a short title and perhaps conceptually not that hard, tonight actually, as we develop it, it may not be so simple. And so we will need your full attentiveness. We'll need your full exercise. We'll need your smart college-trained minds. And we will be going through many verses. And we make no apology for that. If there is a characteristic among us, it must be that we are those who love the Word of God.
Amen.
So have your Bible ready.
Amen.
We will not apologize for flipping through the Bible, and we will go to it often. And before we begin, I'd like to dwell a little bit on the general topic for this weekend. Because as you look at tonight's message, for sure tonight's message has to do with action. We don't dilute that in any way. There needs to be a lot of action. One of the key verses in this outline, and it was alluded to yesterday night, is Daniel 11:32, which says, those who know their God
Amen.
Will show strength and take action.
Amen.
Don't you feel like you know your God more this weekend?
Amen.
What does that mean? Those who know their God will show strength.
Amen.
Josh, show strength.
Amen.
And take action.
Amen.
We are all for action.
Amen.
There's even a book in the New Testament called the Acts of the Apostles. So don't think, we're against action. There needs to be a lot of action.
Amen.
But there is a world of difference between action and mere outward activity. And that's something I'd like to begin with tonight. We'd like to put within you the burden to take action, but also to guard you against mere outward activity in the way of a movement. So as we begin, I'd like you to actually turn to the front page. I mean, just this title page. And let's read this title all together. Ready? Go. Being desperate and living uniquely
for the gospel.
So I don't know how you felt when you came to this conference and the registration section handed you this. Perhaps 50% of you felt, I'm in for a long weekend. Were you intimidated by this title? I think maybe the brothers in the front row, the sisters here, maybe you were like, yes. But maybe some of us, you know, in the back, the gospel, not so easy, right? What are the two most important words in this title? So desperate, uniquely. Okay, I don't know the right answer. But I'd like to share with you the two words that stand out to me. And that is being and living.
Amen.
Being and living. And I point that out because our burden for this weekend is not just to stir you up for some activity, but every message, every piece of fellowship, would do something that would impact your being
Amen.
And your living.
Amen.
This is entirely subjective. We're not here to stir you up, and we're not here to excite you, but we are here to incite you.
Amen.
And if we receive a proper view of our being and our living, then we'll see that the gospel is not activity, but it is the overflow of our daily life. And in truth, brothers and sisters, there should be no distinction between our living and our work, between our living and our serving. You consider the Lord in the Gospels. You read any chapter. When was the Lord living? When was the Lord working? There's no distinction, because the life of a God-man is a life in which your living is spontaneously your working.
Amen.
Your gospel is not confined to a designated time of the week. You don't flip the gospel switch, but 24/7, in class, in your dorms, with your parents, we are living Christ. Amen. And this is our gospel.
Amen.
So this is the first point, and I will come back to this. And now, as we consider the messages, I realize there are a few who were not able to be here last night or even this morning. So just for a minute or two, I'd like to recap how we've gotten to this point. And last night we had a very insightful, revealing word given by our brothers, showing us the picture, the vision of world history. And we saw that from God's perspective, since the time of Christ's ascension, all of human history can be characterized by a four-horse race. And there is, above all, the white horse of the gospel.
Amen.
And I think we were all ready to get on that white horse.
Amen.
Where's David? Where's David Buchanan? Oh, back there. I read David's tweet last night after the meeting, and he said something like, you know, giddy up. Giddy up. In order for the white horse of the gospel to run. And it's a race. While the gospel is spreading, death is spreading, war is spreading, famine is spreading by the other three horses. And this is all in Revelation chapter 6, which we commend to your study. But there is a white horse, and it needs a rider, and it also needs a course. So we need to be those who ride the white horse. And we need to realize that the Lord in His sovereignty has opened up a course in our college campuses, right, in our environments, to ride the white horse. And then this morning, after such a helpful, good beginning, we saw that we need to what? First of all, pray.
Amen.
First of all, pray.
Amen.
And we need the prayer of fellowship to be infused with the Lord. And that is mainly the Lord infusing Him with Him into us. And then we need the prayer of intercession, where we command the Lord and we tell Him to release and to loose what is on His heart. And such a prayer paves the way for our message tonight, which is on the gospel. Now, before we touch the outline, I have one more important preparatory burden. And that is very fundamental. And I'd just like to ask you this. And tonight I'm burdened. You know, I know the saints here are right here in front of me, are exercised and ready to go. But I have a particular burden for those in the last third. Jamie, your row. Enosh, you know, your row, brother. David, your row. You know, I'm speaking to you all. I hope you all feel like you're up here with me, okay? Fully engaged. But that is, I have this basic question, brothers and sisters. Why is it that we preach the gospel? So basic. Why is it that we preach the gospel? Or even to take it one step further, why is it that we would serve the Lord? Why is it that we would work for the Lord? And we know from last night, well, we need to preach the gospel so the end will come. Absolutely right. And we may have different reasons. Actually, ask your neighbor, why do you preach the gospel? Why should I preach the gospel? Okay, I know there may be many different answers, but I'd like to impress you with this. Very basic, but we can never get past this. The only proper motivation for our service to the Lord is that we love our Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
You may say, I need to preach the gospel because duty demands it. I am a soldier for Christ. I say, praise the Lord, brother. Amen. But that alone is not adequate. You may say, well, I fear the Lord. I'm afraid of the judgment seat, and I don't want anybody's blood on my hand, and I'm going to preach the gospel. I say, amen. But only love will keep us in a proper relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
Only love will burn within us
amen.
To cause us to have an enduring spirit for the gospel. Only love is the proper motivation to serve the Lord. You consider this. This is applicable to any service. Brother Mike Krudoff, can you hear me out there? I don't know if he can. You know, Brother Mike, the whole registration team up there. There's Emily. Okay. Listen, don't you appreciate those serving saints? Registering you, getting you your lodging, and then the saints cooking. Listen, why are they doing that? There's Brother Mike. Hallelujah. How about we all say, hallelujah for the registration team.
Hallelujah for the registration team.
Now this is completely unplanned. Brother Mike, hold on. I'm just going to ask you a question, brother. See, this is how confident I am in this. Brother Mike, what is it that is within you that would cause you to serve along with Sister Katie, all of those saints on the registration team?
I love Christ.
Amen! Bullseye! Thank you, brother. Thank you. That was it. The only proper motivation is that we love the Lord.
Amen.
In the book of Revelation, chapter 2, there is a church in Ephesus, which did many things for the Lord. They had a lot of work, a lot of labor, they had faith, they tried the false apostles, they endured all things. But the Lord said one thing in Revelation 2:4, I have one thing against you, that you have left your first love. So you could do a lot of things, but if love is not the motive, guess what? The Lord will rebuke you. I have one thing against you. But what does he say in chapter 2, verse 5? Repent. And do the first works. You see that? First love and first works. This is the proper order. And we emphasize first love. And actually, I'd like to flip it around tonight. Do you have the first love for the Lord?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Then do you have the first works? What is the first love? The first love is the best love. It's the top love. Well, what are the first works? We never consider the first works. The first works are the works which issue out of the first love. So the more we love the Lord with the first love, then spontaneously we will do the first works. This is the order throughout the Bible. And if I had time, I'd go through many instances, but I want to just share one portion. And actually, if you could turn with me to Song of Songs, which, you know, the brothers alluded to this morning. And, you know, one of our brothers shared that the Song of Songs is a poem. It is a poem capturing the intimate relationship between the believer and Christ, who is our real husband. And the Song of Songs begins, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Draw me. We will run after you." This is the intimate sensation. It is entirely of love. But as the Song of Songs progresses, in Song of Songs chapter 7, if you could turn to Song of Songs chapter 7, verses 10 through 12. And if you don't have it, try to look on with the neighbor who does. But let's read these verses together. This is a stage where the lover reaches a degree of maturity. And what happens? All together, 10, 11, and 12. Go.
I am mine, beloved, and his desire is for me. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the fields. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us rise up early for the vineyards. Let us see if the vine has budded, if the blossom is open, if the pomegranates are in bloom. There I will give you my love.
Amen. Who is speaking here? Who is the one speaking? Is it the bridegroom, Christ, or is it the believer?
The believer.
The believer. I hope you'd be impressed. What does the believer says in verse 11? Come, my beloved. She is so mature, she is so in love with the Lord, and she is so one with the Lord that she now is telling the Lord, go. It's not the Lord saying, go. But she is saying, come. Come, my beloved. Let us, what? Go forth into the fields. Let us lodge in the villages. And if you look at the footnotes there, to go to the fields, to go to the villages, this is to go forth to the entire world. So we've been touching this point that the gospel of the kingdom needs to be preached to the entire inhabited earth. But have you seen it from the perspective of Song of Songs? That is that our going forth, brothers and sisters, this is tremendous now. Our going forth is part of the divine romance. Look at verse 12. Let us rise up early for the vineyards. Let us see if the vine has budded, if the blossom is open, if the pomegranates are in bloom. There I will give you my love.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, where do you give the Lord your love? Is it in your bedroom? I love the Lord. Here I am in my dorm. Here I am at home. Lord, I love you. What does it say here? There I will give you my love. This means that the gospel, the venue of the gospel, where we are preaching the gospel, it's not a place where we're doing some service, but it is a place where we are loving the Lord.
Amen.
Right now, I am on a date with my beloved. I'm not giving a message. I am loving the Lord.
Amen.
I hope within this room there are some who have a desire to make it their life goal to go to the uttermost part of the earth.
Amen.
But when you go there, you don't go there for glory.
Right.
You don't go there for pride.
No.
But you go there for love.
Amen.
Because you love the Lord.
Amen.
If you want the fire of the gospel to burn within you, we need the fire of divine love.
Amen.
To burn in our hearts.
Amen.
Burn, burn, O love.
Amen.
Within my heart.
Amen.
Burn fiercely night and day.
Amen.
There is a sister here who's in my small group. And her father, she's actually from Nepal. And her father serves full time in Nepal. And he is, you know, do you even know where Nepal is? I have to look it up on the map. Well, it touches me very much. Here is a brother who loves the Lord, took his family to Nepal. But I'll tell you, in Nepal, he is not on some duty. He is not on some, military, commission. But he is there loving the Lord. So I could dwell on on this point for the entire message, but we need to come to the outline. But I hope this gives you a flavor of the approach we are taking.
Amen.
That we love the Lord.
Amen.
We love our Master.
Amen.
And this is why we go.
Amen.
Let's read Roman numeral 1 all together.
Continue today through our prayer on the earth,
Amen. So the very first point, according to this outline, I'd like you to be impressed with, is that Christ is going forth from the days of eternity. And this is Micah chapter 5, verse 2. We won't look at it right now, but underline that verse. And if you have a footnote, if you have a Bible with footnotes, you'll want to study that. But what that shows us is, in a simple way, brothers and sisters, our God is not a retired God, you know, on some rocker, some grandfather, geriatric, you know, incapable of moving. Our God is the going God!
Amen.
And He has been going forth from the days of eternity. Even in eternity past, He was preparing the world situation, like the brothers shared last night, the right time in history, the right place, the right government, that He could make His initial appearance. That was His first going forth. And then He lived a human life. He went to the cross. He was resurrected. He was poured out as the Spirit. All of this was going forth. But today, He is still going forth. How? Through our preaching of the gospel. So today, we have an opportunity to go with the going God. And there's something very important here. Christ going forth through all those stages, He did it mainly by Himself. But today, for His going forth, He needs man's cooperation. So I'd like you to turn now to Isaiah chapter 6, which is here in Roman numeral 1. Okay, Isaiah chapter 6. And, you know, we don't have the time to go through the entire section, but it's really a wonderful portion. It starts with Isaiah seeing a vision of the Lord in His glory filling the entire temple. And when you see a vision like that, there is the light shines, you confess. Even this morning, to some extent, we may have had this experience. And then, you know, you're purged, you're cleansed, and now here you are before the Lord. And Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I have to let you know that in this past week, these five words have been ringing in my being.
Amen.
Who will go for us? Can you believe it, brothers and sisters, that the triune God would ask such a question? Who will go for us? God is omnipotent. That means He's all-powerful. God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. God is, what, omnipresent. He is everywhere. Yet the way God has taken in this age is to limit Himself, to handicap Himself, and to make all of His goings forth completely contingent on man's cooperation.
Wow. What a God.
And He asked this question, who will go for us? And I like to dwell here. This is a question I cannot ask. I hope the Spirit can speak what I cannot speak. I don't know how you feel. Does it bother you a little bit that God would even have to ask such a question? Who shall I send? Who will go for us? But this is God's desire.
Amen.
And this is an important principle, which Bible scholars call the principle of incarnation. I hope you get that. The principle of incarnation. And what that means is that whatever God does, He wants man's cooperation. And that God wants to do everything in man, through man, and with man.
Amen.
And what that practically means, Fred, stand up here, brother. Fred, you're at UCLA, right?
Amen. Yes.
God has limited His work at UCLA to Fred Liu.
Amen.
Not just Fred Liu, but, you know, to some of the others you're with. But can you believe that? God! He's limited Himself. God says, You know, God can do anything. There's no problem on his side. He desires all men to be saved. This is within God. But God said, I have all power. I speak a word and creation comes in being. But I will not do anything. I will not do anything at UCLA until Fred Liu, with his companions, starts to pray. I will not go out unless Fred Liu, with his companions, go out.
Amen.
Okay, stay here. This is a New Testament principle of incarnation. Eric, come up here. This is entirely different from the Old Testament, okay? Listen, in the Old Testament... Okay, sorry, brother, you're going to be the Old Testament. Old Testament Eric, New Testament Fred. In the Old Testament, how did God work? Not in the way of incarnation. He would just... The Word would come down. The Word would come down. It would come on a prophet. Now, this prophet could be a fleshly prophet, could be... His heart could not be... couldn't care about God. He could be soulish. He could be like Samson in the flesh, but power would come upon you. But the Word would come, and then the Old Testament prophet would say, would get suddenly possessed and say, "Thus saith the Lord." and then when he's done, the Word would depart. The Word was completely objective. It was not subjective. This is the way of the Old Testament. In the New Testament, John 1:14, three crucial words. The Word became flesh.
Amen.
Let that sink in.
Amen.
You knocked down by that, Phil?
Yeah.
Let that sink in. Don't apply it just to Christ, to the second of the Godhead. But the principle, the Word, which is the feeling of God, the explanation of God, the expression of God, the definition of God. This Word now becomes flesh. The Word, which was formerly objective, is now subjective.
Amen.
The Word, which was formerly just revelation, is now personification. And God comes into us. And he mingles himself with us.
Right.
He is one with us.
Amen.
So now guess what? Amen. When Fred speaks, speak something, brother. Speak anything to me.
Christ is life and water to you.
That is God speaking.
Amen.
Do you see that? This is the principle of incarnation.
Amen.
This is our gospel. God coming into us. So now you see this. What a monumental task. That your thoughts, your feelings, your utterances, your speaking is the very speaking of God. This is the way God takes today. So when he says, "Who will go for us?" this is what he means. So can the gospel still just be 1 hour a week in the Old Testament way? You live your life, doing whatever. And now, it's gospel time. And you pray for the Word to come. And maybe, by the Lord's mercy, you have some anointing. And then the dove flies away. And you go back to your life. I hope you'd be impressed. Thank you. I just want to give you one New Testament verse confirming that. Let's turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Okay, let's all together read verse 15. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. This is wonderful. Mark 16, 15. Ready? "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to all the creation.'" Okay, one more time, but with our spirit. Ready? Go! So who's going? We are, right?
Yeah.
Who's preached? Who's proclaiming?
We are.
Okay. Go to verse 20. Go to verse 20. All together. Ready? Go.
"And they went out and preached everywhere,
You see that? Who's going out? It's Fred going out. But verse 20, they went out and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them. Confirming the word. Be bold, brothers and sisters. In the New Testament, when you go out, the Lord is going out. When you work, the Lord is working. And the Lord is confirming every word. Okay, time is short, so I need to move on. Again, we could, you know, dwell here, but let's go to Roman numeral 2. Ready? Go. The goal of our going out to preach the gospel is not merely to save souls, but to gather material for the building of God's house, to gain more members for the increase of the body of Christ. And I'll have to leave it to the brothers perhaps tomorrow to help solidify this word. The main point here is that we're not doing, you know, just some soul-saving work. But even according to the reference of Ephesians 4, there is a particular phrase, the work of the ministry. And that means that today, brothers and sisters, there is a central work of God. Amen. And that central work is that God wants to work himself into us. Amen. Through Christ, that we would become built up to be the members of the body of Christ. Amen. So God's goal is the body of Christ. And I believe tomorrow the brothers will help us with that. The main area or text or points I need to cover, and I think I could do this in the next 5-10 minutes, is Roman numeral 3. And this is really the heart of this section. But I hope we've seen something now about how we approach this. Okay? I hope we've seen something about our being, our living, our loving the Lord, our going forth in the principle of incarnation. So when we come to these points, it's not just to get you excited, but it is to impress you that there is surrounding us a cry from every direction. And yesterday we prayed among the brothers that the din in our daily life, the noise, the static, would be reduced so that tonight we could hear this cry from every direction. Amen. Roman numeral 3. And it may be adequate for the most part that I just read these points. And I think just reading it, which is mainly composed of the Word of God, there should be the proper impact. Today, we must answer the urgent call to go preach the gospel from four directions. A, the Lord's only commandment at his departure is a call from the heavens above. Let's read these verses all together. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to all the creation. Go, therefore, and disciple all the nations. So underline in point A, a call from the heavens above. A call from the heavens above. Point B, the cry of the rich man is a call from Hades below. Underline, a call from Hades below. Altogether on the verse. And he said, then I ask you, Father, to send him to the house of my father, for I have 5 brothers, so that he may solemnly testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And you need to read Luke 16, and this portion is not a parable. It's not a parable. It's an illustrative story given by the Lord. But here is one who was a rich man. He died. He was buried with dignity, with honor. During his life, in contrast to him, there was a poor man. Did not eat well. Died without any burial. But something happened after the two men died. The poor man, Lazarus, was in a pleasant part of Hades, which is paradise. the rich man found himself in a place of torment, in Hades. And he tried to call out, "Abraham, send Lazarus here. If I could just get a dip of water, it'll cool me down." Abraham said, "There's a big gulf. There's a big gulf. We can't go there." The rich man said, "Then please send Lazarus. Send him into the house of my father. I have five brothers, so he may solemnly testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment." Listen, brothers and sisters, that place of torment, that's not even the lake of fire. That's a holding cell for the lake of fire. That's not even the lake of fire. This is the cry from below. Please send someone. We just have to go on to point C. Altogether, the believer's pressing, heartfelt responsibility is a call from within. If I preach the gospel, I have no boast, for necessity is laid upon me. For woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am entrusted with a stewardship. Underline, a call from within. And this is the pattern of our brother, the Apostle Paul. And, you know, if you read this, you may not understand what he's saying. But basically he's saying, you know, if I preach the gospel, I don't boast about it. Because, you know, necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. Okay, it's just like studying. Do you boast when you study? You say, "Oh, I studied today." No, right? Woe to me if I don't study. Necessity is laid upon me. Well, this is a heartfelt cry from within. I don't need to give this to you. The Lord will put this within you. And this is normal within all of us, that we have a feeling. We have a sense of responsibility to our friends. I see Jesus and Mario over there. You know, praise the Lord, brothers! You know, Jesus was in our small group. We just love being with our brother. But, you know, you had a sense of feeling for Mario, right? You know, this is your burden. And, you know, now Mario, tomorrow you're going to get baptized, right?
Amen.
Stand up. Say amen in a strong way.
Amen!
Amen! Tomorrow, we'll have a time for baptism. I don't know if Mario will be first in line, but I hope, you know, many are in that line. Okay, but I want to read one quick verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22, okay? This will capture the spirit of our brother Paul. 1 Corinthians 9:22. In this whole section, he's talking about the sense of responsibility, his faithfulness for the gospel. And he says, you know, to the Jews I became a Jew, to the Gentiles I became a Gentile, to the weak I became weak. I become all things to all men. Okay, verse 22. To the weak I became weak, that I might gain the weak. Okay, and this is what I want you to pay attention to. To all men I have become all things, that I might by all means save some. This is to be desperate and live uniquely for the gospel. You see that? To all men I have become all things. That's desperate. Why? That I might by all means save some. That's living uniquely for the gospel. Amen. Hope we would have such a spirit. Okay, point D. The desperate need of people is a call from without. And underline that point, call from without. All together on the verse. A certain man was standing and entreating him and saying, "Come and help us." Let's read those last four words again. "Come and help us." This came to Paul in a vision at night. You know what? They say that soldiers dream of warfare. Athletes dream of competition. What did the person who is living uniquely for the gospel dream of? The cry from without, come and help us. The best help that we can render people is to give them the gospel.
Amen.
Let's read point E all together. May we answer his commission from above, the pitiful cries from below, the irresistible call from within, and the desperate call from without to go
preach the gospel to all men.
Okay, I'm going to conclude here with a little testimony. And then I'm going to pass the mic to Brother Ken, who will close this out. I feel like we've had a good beginning.
Amen.
You know, to use a baseball metaphor. Sorry, 50% of the room may not understand this. Last night, you know, it was like the starting pitching. The World Series game. And, you know, the brothers, you know, they took us through the beginning, and we got the lead. Amen. And this morning, the middle relief came in, and they kept the lead, and even the lead added.
Amen.
Tonight, I'm the setup man. I didn't blow the lead, I hope. I'm going to pass the mic to Brother Ken, who is Mariano Rivera. He is going to close this out. And you may wonder, what are we doing tomorrow? Tomorrow is the ticker tape parade. Tomorrow is our championship celebration.
Amen.
Victory is in sight. I'd like to share one little testimony. I just think back to my college days. And I think perhaps like many of you, actually, I was worse than you all. When I went to college, if you know, I was not being desperate and living uniquely for the gospel. I was being distracted and living uniquely for the self. That would summarize my life. And I went to college with a lot of goals. You know, I really loved sports. I wanted to play, you know, basketball. You know, I wanted to play, you know, where's Mike? I thought Mike was here. I wanted to play soccer, you know. I went to college on the East Coast so I could play hockey. You can't play hockey so much here. So I went to college distracted, living uniquely for the self. And that freshman year, I remember signing up for all these activities, joining this, doing that. Yet something happened within me, and I don't have the time to go into it, but the Lord caught me, and somehow I began to love the Lord. I won't go into the details, but, you know, my life, the trajectory of my life was redirected. And I went home during one of the breaks, just the fire was starting. And I remember this distinctly, and it was 15 years ago. I went to my parents' home. Now, I was just at this time beginning to have a turn. And my parents had a pretty extensive Christian library with Bibles and many good ministry books. And I remember going to that library and looking at the titles, and being so inspired, and just loving the Lord and saying, Lord, I cannot wait to read this book, The All-Inclusive Christ. I'm going to read this book, The Glorious Church. I'm going to read this book, Christ versus Religion. I scanned it all. My heart was lifted up. And then I flipped and I saw one title. And my heart literally went like this. I remember it so vividly, 15 years ago. And I looked at that book, and I said to myself, there is no way I can read that book or have such a living. Do you know what that book was? I realize this is recorded, and so for those listening, I'm holding up a book with the title of this conference. This was a book, Being Desperate and Living Uniquely for the Gospel. This book stopped me in my tracks. I read the title, I was condemned. So I have a degree of sympathy for all of you. But my point is, at that age, I saw it as a work.
Yeah.
I saw it as activity. I saw it as a campaign. And I thought, there is no way. I didn't realize the Lord wanted to love me and that He just wanted me to love Him.
Amen.
And the more I love the Lord,
amen,
how easy it was to serve the Lord.
Amen.
How easy it was to become desperate and to live for the gospel.
Amen.
So I'm going to fast forward. 2 years ago, I was at UCLA on campus. I was just playing basketball with the brothers. And I walked out of that wooden, is it the wooden court or wooden center? And I said, man, this is a nice facility. I didn't, you know, the college has a basketball court and workout facilities. I remember walking out of there going, man, that's nice. And then I started thinking, did my college have that? And then I just realized, I passed through college, and I never entered my school's gym. I never laced up high tops. I never put on the cleats for soccer. I never put on the skates for hockey. Something had happened. The Lord had a way in this person who was distracted and living uniquely for the self. The final thing I'll say is, this past May, I had a chance to go back to my college campus. There was a conference in Philadelphia. And during one of the breaks, I left the conference and I walked 30 blocks. And I walked to my college campus. And the school was out of session. It was empty. But I walked through that campus. And everywhere I walked, memory after memory came back, flooding me with memories of preaching the gospel. Every building I saw, I don't remember anything I learned in class. But I remember being in that classroom, praying for that person, taking a class because of that person. I remember going to that frat house, not by myself, but with my companions. And the brothers tomorrow will help us with this. My prayer, brothers and sisters, 15 years from now, you will go back to campus and every building will be a gospel memory.
Amen.
Every building you see, you will remember Christ.
Amen.
Those are my college years. I hope it will be yours.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus,
amen.
I love you.
Amen.
I hope you all end up this evening loving the Lord more than you ever have in your whole life.
Amen.
Lord, we love you. Let's all tell the Lord that.
Lord, we love you.
Let's all say, Lord Jesus, I love you.
Lord Jesus, I love you.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, He's wonderful. You know, this afternoon, I don't know about you, but watching the video, what did you feel about that? I told the brothers, I was actually in the back watching it, and I was glad nobody hardly saw me because I was mostly in tears the whole time fighting it back. It was crazy. I felt like a little kid. And anyway, you know, I was so impressed. You know, these are what you saw was a video of ones who had given their lives to the Lord and paid a price to take care of the gospel. And, you know, just recently, I'll just tell you a little quick story. I went to Russia a few weeks ago for a college conference with the college students there in Moscow. And, you know, I've been there a number of times, and every time I go, there's a feeling I have that's just tremendous to me. It's just,
right.
I'm in tears. I'm sitting there and I'm watching, you know, 300 Moscovites loving the Lord,
Wow. Singing
the same songs you're singing. And you know what? That just, it just melts me because I realize I'm looking at the fruit of the gospel. And I'm looking at the fruit of lives that have been poured out on the Lord.
Amen.
I just think about some of the ones that went to Russia in 1991, and they spent years, and they paid a price for the gospel. But the end result is, in 2009, I'm standing there and looking at 300 of their kids. The kids of those that got saved in 1991 and 2 and 3 and so forth. And here their kids are all loving the Lord. In fact, there was one, there was one brother who was a translator for the ones preaching the gospel there. And this brother was the best translator. The brothers loved this one. He was given to the to be one with the brothers in the translation from English into Russian. And this brother was murdered by thieves. And it was a great loss at that time. But you know, I'm sitting over here, and you know who's sitting right over here? His son. His son is there. Loving the Lord Jesus. Amen. He was a little kid when his dad got murdered, but he's there loving Jesus.
Amen.
Anyway, lives have been poured out on the Lord.
Amen.
And there is nothing as precious as giving our lives to the Lord.
Amen.
For the gospel.
Amen.
I mean, you can do a lot of things. You can achieve a lot of a lot of accolades. You can be very successful. But to be a person who is going with the gospel,
amen,
this is big. This is the greatest thing you could give your lives to. You know, I was just thinking back the first time I led someone to the Lord. I was a 17-year-old. And I've told the story, a number of you have heard it, but just in a simple way, I was just with some 9-year-olds to 15-year-old boys in a cabin at a Bible camp. And I don't know if any of them were saved hardly, but I just didn't know what to do. You know, I'd never taken care of anybody in my life. The gospel was scary to me. And taking care of people, I had no idea. Nobody trained me on how do you take care of, have a person? You know, what do you do with all these kids in Bible camp? You're supposed to have a cabin time. You know, I didn't know. But one of them was a kind of a scoundrel. He was a troublemaker. And he was like the hero of all those kids. And he was Mr. Campus in, you know, wherever he was from. And they just followed him around, and they were negative about everything. And I'm sitting there, I've got to endure this for a whole week. I mean, what am I going to do? And saints, I really just got desperate. I really got desperate. And I prayed to the Lord. And I actually in tears. I really didn't know what to do. I was desperate. And particularly this one, John Weber. John Weber. I don't remember anybody else's name, but that one brother, John Weber. I prayed for him. And listen, that night, when out of my desperation, the Lord saved John Weber. He got saved. And then he began to pursue the Lord together with me. And then next thing you know, the whole cabin was pursuing the Lord. It was tremendous. Then the next week, I had another experience. I was with all these boys, and I was laying there in bed and talking to them. You know, the lights were out, and just talking to them about the Lord. And someone said, "Well, I want to get saved." Another one said, "Well, I want to get saved too." And then I didn't know what to do hardly. It's just like, I'm 17 years old. These guys are 12 and 13. And I said, well, let's get on the side of the bed and kneel down and let's pray. And so anyway, about 4 or 5 of these boys all prayed together with me to receive the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And you know what? After that, I laid in bed in tears dripping, just flowing down. I could not believe what this 17-year-old had experienced. I felt so unworthy. I didn't know why it had happened to me. I had no idea why. But that was the sweetest, most unbelievable experience in my life at that time. I just couldn't help but thank you, Lord, and praise the Lord, and thank Him for giving me the opportunity to lead someone to Christ. These were the first ones, and I'll just tell you, let's go on to the last one. I'll share with you the last one I led to the Lord. This was crazy. This was on my way to Moscow, and now this doesn't mean all my life that's all I've been doing. Listen, don't think that. No. The gospel is glorious, and we need to be so proud, so happy that we can share Christ with others, minister Christ to others, that their whole lives can be changed. I got on a plane. It was about 1 a.m. in London, and I'm going to Moscow. It's like, okay, I got a few more hours to sleep, and I got in it was just about the back row, and there's a guy sitting two over. There's a blank seat, and he also, yeah, but I got to get some sleep. Well, before I went to sleep, I just started looking at some notes, you know, for the conference, and then he got inquisitive and started asking me some questions. And I did not plan on this. And this is not what I wanted. But on the other hand, there's a call without. There's a call without. He's sitting over here calling, help me. Yeah, come over here. And we started sharing. I started sharing with him. And he asked these questions. He was a 28-year-old Moscovite, single, successful, into this kind of business and that kind of business. But he was there just sucking up the riches of Christ. And then when I start sharing the things of Christ, it's like, I've never heard anything like this. That's not what I heard about from Christianity. It just did not match. Right. And eventually, he just like, I've got to hear more. I've got to hear more. What, you know, when you start sharing some of the things we've enjoyed, you know, the Lord and John, my goodness, he never heard anything like this. Well, he didn't get saved on the plane, but he wanted to come to the conference. And he couldn't make it. Things prevented him from getting to the conference way out in the boondocks. But he wanted to get with me before I left back for the States. So we worked it out. He met with us at the Saints house. And he came there and he sat down. And give me more. Give me more. So we were there. And then somehow it came up that there was a conference the next weekend with saints from all over Russia. He says, well, I want to go. Well, I had the help of another brother. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sometimes in the gospel, it's just so good to have someone there with you. Amen. And this other brother, you know, said, well, everybody at this conference is a believer. And he's there. And then he turned around and he said, not one person at that conference is an unbeliever. And he's there, he said, I'm believing. And then he said, well, do you believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead? Yeah, I believe. And then he just started, well, then repeat after me. And he just led him through the prayer to receive the Lord. Amen. So right there next to me, this Artie, he got saved.
Amen.
He got filled up with the Lord. Anyway, that was so exciting. What kind of life is this? What a privilege that we get to share Christ with others. I just love this matter of being aggressive and what? Living, being desperate and living uniquely for the gospel. You know, also when I was young, I was scared about the gospel. The first time I ever went out on the gospel, I grew up in the Brethren Assemblies. And my parents were missionaries for a while. But the gospel was scary to me because my dad did it. And it was just something I don't know how to do this thing. And I remember the first time I went out as a high schooler. This is before I was 17. I must have been 15 or so. We went door knocking. And all I could do was just, there was that verse in 1 John, perfect love cast out fear. And all I knew was, I need to get rid of this fear. So all I did just was, perfect love. I tried to work up some love. And I just couldn't do it. It was so scary to me. And I just, you know, after that I realized, I just can't do this. Just like you said, I cannot do this. Live uniquely for the gospel. Plus I realized if you wanted to be for the Lord, you have to be a missionary. And that was just the way I was brought up. I mean, to be absolute, to be given to the Lord, you have to be a missionary. And I was I did not want to be that. I'd already seen some things that, you know, I just had thoughts of living in a hut and eating crickets and, you know, I don't know. That's my concept of being a missionary, you know. So I just kind of gave up. But it's so awesome how the Lord, you know, He just won't let us go. He's, you know, He works on us as believers to pick up a heart for man and to work in our lives to the point where we are willing to be one with Him for the gospel. And I, like David, we are not burdened to stir you up to do something. You know, to go is one thing. But what we're talking about in the way of going, I would say it again, go, go, go. We have to declare go.
Amen.
But it's not mere activity.
Right.
Like he said, it's not, you know, it's not, what was the two words? Living and, I can't even read my writing.
Being.
Yeah, the being. And then the other, oh, here, where is it? Oh, your living is your working. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Aren't you all encouraged that the gospel is a living?
Amen.
And your living is your working?
Amen.
Let's all declare that. Your living is your working.
Your living is your working.
Tell your neighbor that.
Your living is your working.
So what do we all need? We need a living. And it's a going living. I can't help but appreciate that the Lord Himself is a going God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He came.
That's right.
Alan, He came.
Amen.
He was incarnated.
Amen.
He's a going God.
Amen.
And eventually what? He reached us, Eric. The going God reached us.
Amen.
Now He is the living Spirit is within us.
Amen.
Wow.
Wow.
Now what is He doing? He's continuing to go through us.
Amen.
In prayer and in the gospel. Prayer is the way He goes. And the gospel is the way He goes. But it's through man. Wow. I'd rather, this is the highest calling there is. To be a person living for the gospel. Uniquely for the gospel. Let's go to the outline in this Roman numeral number 4. Can we read this all together? The Lord has appointed us. Go forth. Just this first phrase, saints, I hope you would be impressed right now. The Lord has appointed us to go forth and bear fruit. Let's all read that part again. The Lord has appointed us to go forth and bear fruit. You need to tell your neighbor, you're appointed. Phil, you're appointed, right? Hallelujah, you're appointed. Matt, you're appointed. You're appointed to what? Go forth. Hallelujah. And do what? Bear fruit. You know, to bear fruit, I again, it's not like you're going to just build a, you know, you're not just going to work on a, you know, do some construction work for the Lord.
Right.
I mean, you can do that. You can do that in the Lord and by the Lord. But to go and bear fruit, listen, this impacts people's lives.
Right.
Their
right.
lives are changed forever. I mean, even I was considering about John Weber. I just, Lord, I'd love to see John Weber again. And I've prayed for him over the years. I don't know whatever happened to John Weber. You know, that week it was all over. He went back to whatever, wherever he was. But you know what? He got saved. He got born again. And eventually one day he will thank me. He will thank me that I brought the gospel to him. And he received the Lord. These ones will be so thankful. We change their lives, even their eternal destiny. So I hope we'd all realize, I am appointed. We're appointed to go. And we want to see it in the Word. I hope you're not bothered by us getting into the Word. I want to get into some verses. And if we would all just pay attention to the Word and let the Lord speak to us through the Word of God.
Amen.
Okay, let's go to John 15, 16. Go, yeah. Here we go again. Amen. John 15, 16.
Amen.
Let's all read this together.
You did not
choose me,
but I chose you.
And I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit,
and that your fruit should remain.
That whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you.
Isn't this tremendous? He chose you. He chose you. And did what? He set you. This is, He attached you to the vine. Do you all realize you're all branches? And the Lord, He set you in the vine. And what is he calling us to do? What is He commissioning us to do? To go and bear fruit. Do you see it? I chose you and I set you that you should go bear fruit.
Amen.
Do you have some realization? This is what the Lord wants me to do. Amen.
Amen.
You were chosen to what? To go forth and bear fruit. Go forth. That means depart. Go. But when you go, do you leave the vine?
No.
You go as branches in the vine. But you're not there just dormant. Listen, if you read the context, it's not good just to be here around the vine.
Right.
You know, not sucking in all the riches of the vine. It's serious.
Right.
We need to be in the vine.
Amen.
And in the vine, we're doing something. You know what we're doing? We're bearing fruit.
Amen.
Wow. I hope you appreciate that. Bearing fruit. What does that mean? Some of you kind of concerned. What is that? You know what I used to think? I used to think, and it's probably because of my soul life, I used to think to bear fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. You know, it's those fruits of the Spirit. So I abide in the Lord and abide in the Word. So that there's some good virtues coming up out of me, and that will make the Lord happy. Because I knew we were supposed to bear fruit. That's clear. Are you all clear? What is the Lord commissioning you to do right now? Go forth and bear fruit. But it's in the context, when you look at it, it's not referring to just the fruit of the Spirit and the virtues that come with being attached to the Lord and abiding in the Lord. The context here is that of believers. Other believers. That the Lord could be multiplied on the earth. He's moving through us. He's flowing through us. For the result. For the issue. The desire is what? More fruit. Oh Lord Jesus. I love you.
Amen.
We're here to bear fruit.
Amen.
And you what? You know what? You were chosen for this. And you were attached to the vine for one thing. You know what that is? Go forth and bear fruit.
Amen.
Let's all declare that. Go forth and bear fruit.
Go forth and bear fruit.
Ask your neighbor what you were chosen for. Did they answer?
Yeah.
Jordan, what were you chosen for?
Go forth and bear fruit.
Amen. I hope everyone could declare that. I'm here on this earth to bear fruit. But you know what? It's interesting. It's not like you have to do this all by yourself.
Right.
Praise the Lord. While I'm thinking about it, in John 15, verse 5, we'll get into it later. While you're there, look at verse 5. Could we read that all together?
I am
the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So again, we'll get into this later, but I hope you all would realize, apart from him, and apart from being in this wonderful vine of the triune God, apart from him, we can do nothing. Do you think you can do something? Listen, apart from him, you can do nothing. You may do a lot of things. You can do a lot of things, but you know what? If you're apart from him, what is it? Zero. Zero. But we have the joy of abiding in the vine.
Amen.
To bear fruit.
Amen.
Okay, let's go on to the next point. The point is here that there are some qualifications, six qualifications to meet to bear fruit. And dear saints, there's only several of these points that I really want to really get into, and that's where my burden is.
Amen.
And I hope we all could be impressed. Let's read point A to begin with. Aggressive desperation. Then all together. We must be desperate to go out and contact people for the sake of the gospel. Amen. Desperate to go out and contact people for the sake of the gospel. And that sounds like a lot. It sounds like a lot of pressure. Now, I would even say, you know, when you read this, you may think, oh, we have to meet six qualifications to bear fruit. Matthews, that's a little much, huh? Can you do it? Yes, you can do it. Everybody be at rest. Listen, we can meet these qualifications and we can bear fruit. Let's all declare, I can bear fruit.
I can bear fruit.
Lord, I want to bear fruit.
Lord, I love to bear fruit.
Well, number one, we need a certain amount of what? Aggressive desperation to go out and contact others. I can just say, you know, without saying too much, you know, in the last year, I've been around some brothers who have been desperate for their friends. And they've been desperate. And the end result are ones like Jordan. Jordan, stand up again. This is fruit. Turn around and look at everybody. Does he look juicy? Yeah. This is juicy fruit. Yeah.
Juicy fruit.
No. Anyway, this is fruit. But you know how it came? Where did this fruit come from? Thank you, Jordan. It came from some ones who were aggressively desperate. They worked with him. They knew him. They cared about him. You know what? As a good Buddhist boy, listen, you know where he was headed? He was headed into a Christless eternity. Christless eternity. But some brothers cared about him. There was some desperate aggressiveness to pray for him. Aren't you thankful? I'm thankful. And you know what? There's been many others. And I hope this would be all of our experience. We would all have a certain amount of aggressive desperation to reach out to the ones around us. I think you saw it. You all are where it's happening. The college campuses, this is an amazing thing. You know, I think Scott mentioned this. You know, in the last 200 years ago, where were all the young people? Where the college student? Where were the young people? They were out on the farms. And you know what? The parents didn't want them to go to college. And there's only a few colleges all over America. But now what is there? They're everywhere. And the tuition just keeps going up. The price is high to be in college. But you know, they're all there. This is where the college students are. And you know what? Who does the Lord use for his move? He goes to the young people. He loves the young people because they're so wide open. They're ready to receive a new thought. They're seeking. They know there's more to life. And they're so available. They're not preoccupied. And there they are. They're all there together with you. I know when I went to school, maybe I'll just go ahead and give this little testimony. And this testimony is related to, I just want to encourage you, you all can bear fruit on the college campuses. You all can. It's not too hard. You know, I was at the university, and actually after, when I started at the university, I left my home, and I began to kind of consider all the things of the world, because I grew up as a missionary kid, and a kid of a missionary, whatever, and I wanted to find out what's out there. And I think that's typical with most students, most kids. They live at home. They get away from their parents. They want to find out what's out there. Maybe they were protected. They didn't know growing up. And so I began to seek other things. And I got distracted and preoccupied with a lot of other things at the beginning of my college career. Well, the Lord had a time in which He turned me. You know, He turned me. He stopped me in my tracks. And I left the hippie scene and all the rock and roll and all the concerts and all the things that go along with it. And I stopped. And the Lord put in me a kind of a seeking. Amen. You need to get back to the Lord. Amen. You're a believer. You can't give your life to the hippie scene. You can't give your life to be occupied with this. That is not your destiny. I had the full realization, that's not my destiny. Well, I began to seek. And that's where I went to a lot of Christian places, looking for, where are you, Lord? What are you doing? And you know what? It's just so wonderful. There was a student that I had a class with, and it was in tennis class. Just a tennis student. And we had a little friendship there. And like I've probably mentioned before, I was better than him. I still remember that in tennis. But I still like to be nice to him because I felt sorry for him sometimes. Anyway. So we would talk. And then after class one time, out of the blue, it shot me. Here's this just a college student in a tennis class. And he's with someone. And you know what he did? He shared something he enjoyed of Christ for just a little bit before he went into other classes. And you know what? That little bit of sharing of what he enjoyed, you know what? That affected my being. Now, can you do that? Can you share a little bit of what you enjoyed, Katie, with somebody on the college campus? Absolutely. You can. He did it. You know what? My life was changed forever.
Wow.
I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that brother. Wow. And then I did something. Anyway, maybe I don't need to get into all the details. But eventually that brother, he began to... Well, I had a part-time job at a bank. And that's where I got... They needed someone to work. I got him to work with me. What do you think he was doing after that? You remember Jordan? Infusing. He was infusing me with God. But it started with him just sharing a little something. You know what? I respected that.
Right.
It is unusual. It is unusual for a person in a class to share Christ with someone. And you don't even... And I didn't even know he was a Christian. But all of a sudden, he shared Christ with me. Then walked into the classroom. That is a little unusual. But you know what? The feeling within is, he is an amazing person. This is, nobody can just do that. I mean, and I'm a Christian, I'm thinking, I wish I could do that. Anyway, it touched me. And then I had a lot of respect for him. So, when I'm looking for someone to work with me, who did I go to? I went to that brother. Would you like a job? Part-time. Anyway, he came on, started working together, and he started infusing me with Christ. Anyway, that changed my life.
Amen.
Eventually came into a really wonderful church life.
Amen.
As a result. Okay, let's go on to... These verses are really good too. In 2 Timothy 4, I hope you would pay attention to this. But here, Paul to Timothy says, I solemnly charge you. I charge you to what? Proclaim the word. Be ready in season and out of season.
Amen.
Are we ready in season and out of season? Jesus, what do you think?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, I'll ask all of you. Are we all ready in season?
Amen.
Out of season?
Amen.
Every season's the right season.
Amen.
For proclaiming and announcing the gospel. And it doesn't have to be like something, what you think. I don't know what you think about the gospel. Like, I've got to sit down and get into this dialogue that lasts forever and convince someone. No, I think you all realize that's not the way we take. Anyway, we'll get into that a little bit more later. Okay. And then in Acts 26, oh, this is incredible. Maybe we can look at that real quick. I just want you to see how desperate Paul was. Look at Acts 26. He's a crazy man. Here even, he's called insane. Paul, you're insane. Has anybody called you insane? Phil, anybody called you insane?
Not those words, but yeah.
They should, yeah. Okay, Acts 26, 24. Okay, let's read that all together. Let me look through that. Yeah, let me read it to you. That the Christ would suffer and that he, being the first to rise from the dead, would announce light both to the people and to the Gentiles. And as he was saying these things in his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, "You are insane, Paul. Much learning is driving you mad." Wow. It's driving you insane, sorry. And then Paul said, I am not insane, most excellent Festus. But I am uttering words of truth and soberness.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. We need to be so insane like Paul.
Right.
Speaking words of truth and soberness.
Amen.
Amen. Anyway, I think that's good enough. Let's go on to the next point. Absolute consecration. This is really where my burden is. Can we read this all together? B.
Amen.
Absolute consecration. We must concentrate our
lives
from every
preoccupation
and mean business with the Lord to bear fruit. Let's go to Romans 12 while we're looking at this. Romans 12, verse 1. Don't you love the Bible? Oh, I love the Word of God. This is so good. Let's all read verse 1 of chapter 12 together strongly, okay? I exhort you, therefore, brothers, through the compassions of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. Okay? Some of you may not be familiar with what consecration is. I mean, I don't need a show of names, but consecration may be unfamiliar to you. I know some of you have been saved not that long ago, and you probably never heard of it. But in the Old Testament, they offered animal sacrifices to the Lord, I mean, among other things, to satisfy God. And these offerings, they were, in one sense, they had a certain use, for example, a bullock. And that bullock was going a certain direction. It was doing certain things. But then they would offer that and in a way of consecrating that to the Lord. And that offering was for God's satisfaction. And when it went on the altar, that animal sacrifice had a different use. It was for God's satisfaction. It might have been a bullock, and before it was in the yard there plowing, but now it had a different use.
Right.
It got consecrated to the Lord.
Amen.
And it got put on an altar. And there it was offered up to the Lord for His satisfaction.
Amen.
Well, that in a sense is consecration. But there's something else that happens. The offering had to be what? Burned up by fire. Burned up by fire. For the sweet smelling savor to the Lord. Well, here, what does he say? Paul says, I exhort you therefore, brothers, through the compassions of God, to present your bodies. What? A living sacrifice. So here he's tugging at the hearts of the believers. Oh, consecrate. That is, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice.
Amen.
Regardless of what you're doing, you need to take yourself, put yourself on the altar, and offer yourself to Him.
Amen.
Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. It's so reasonable to offer yourself to the Lord.
Right.
You know why? I go back to another point of consecration, and that is, you know why it's reasonable for you to offer yourselves to the Lord? Because according to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, is that where it is? Chapter 5. Let me just look at this real quick. Well, what I was thinking about was in 1 Peter 1. The basis of consecration is, you know what? There was precious blood that was shed for you.
Amen.
Precious blood shed for you. And then in 1 Corinthians 6, you have this matter of you're not your own.
Amen.
You were bought with a price. So do you all realize, listen, it's reasonable for you to offer yourself to the Lord. You know why? The Lord paid a price for you.
Right.
And it was with the precious blood of Christ. The blood was shed. And you know what? According to 1 Corinthians 6, you're not your own. Mario, you're not your own. That's why you're being baptized. You're willing to go into the death waters. Leave my old Mario behind. Praise the Lord. He's just going to come out of the water in newness of life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Right? So, saints, it's reasonable to offer yourself to the Lord. It's very reasonable. Do you think you have... I mean, what are you going to give your life to? Are you going to live your life acting like you're not a Christian? Are you going to fight against the Lord all your life? Well, the basis of consecration is, I belong to the Lord.
Amen.
He does, I do belong to Him. And He has bought me with a price. And Paul, you know what he does then? He touches their love. He touches their heart. You know what? You need to consider all the Lord has done for you. Listen, you know what He did? He called you. First of all, I would say even He chose you. And He called you. And He saved you. And He brought you into the riches. Now, what are you going to do? Out of your love for the Lord,
Amen.
You should give yourself to Him.
Amen.
We love the Lord.
Amen.
So the Lord doesn't come and say, okay, Phil, come here. Here's Phil. The Lord chose him in eternity past. And then He marked him out with a destiny.
Right.
And then in time He called Phil. Phil, turn to me. Believe in me. Call on me. You know what? Phil, probably when he's a little kid, what happened?
Nothing.
Well, at some point you received the Lord, right?
Right.
Oh, okay. He appreciated the blood of Christ. Oh, the blood was shed for my sins. Wow. This is wonderful. So the Lord paid a price for him and purchased him. He's been purchased. Okay, Phil, now you're purchased by God. And you know what? Does God come to you? Did He come to you this way, Phil? You were bought with a price. I paid blood for you. You need to give yourself to me. I have absolute right over you.
No, he didn't do that.
No. Yeah, but it's reasonable. I'm the new owner. You belong to me. Come on. Is that how the Lord comes to us? No. Like David, He comes in the way of what? Love. The motive of love. Then what happens when the Lord starts loving on Phil? Then when the Lord says, just offer yourself, Phil. Give yourself to the Lord. You know, He speaks really down here. Give yourself to the Lord. I'm so lovely. I'm so precious. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right. The Lord comes in the way of love. He doesn't demand, okay, Jeffrey, you've got to give yourself to the Lord right now. No, He comes loving us, touching our heart. And this is what Paul's doing. He says, I exhort you, brothers, through the compassions. Oh, the compassions, the mercies of God. Consider it. Consider all He's done. And do what? Offer yourself a living sacrifice. You need to consecrate. So the point here is, saints, to go and bear fruit, we need absolute consecration.
Amen.
But the consecration comes out of what? Our love for the Lord.
Amen.
Consider what He's done. Consider what He's doing. What He's done in you, for you, and what He will do through you.
Amen.
Listen, offer to Him as yourself as a living sacrifice. Let's look at... There's some verses here. Matthew 11, 29 through 30, which is very interesting, the placement of this. But I want you all to look at it. Take a look at Matthew 11. I didn't ask you. And I think my point here is, saints, it's not too much.
Right.
It's not too much to give yourself to the Lord. Okay? What does the verse say? 28. Let's read it. Come to me, all who toil and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'd hope you would mark this in your Bible and come back to that again and again. Listen, come to me. Let's all declare that. Come to me. Again, come to me. This is the Lord's calling us. Come to me, all who toil and are burdened. Listen, to give yourself to the Lord and to live in a desperate way for the Lord and you live uniquely for the gospel. It's not too much. Come to me, all who toil and are burdened. And you know what? You'll find rest unto your souls. There's rest when we come to Him. There's nothing that's too much. There's nothing too much. No burden is too great if we come to Him and learn of Him. His yoke is what?
Easy.
Again, His yoke is?
Easy.
His burden is?
Light.
Is His burden too much?
No.
Is it too hard?
No.
It's easy. I can testify, you know, I've lived a long time. And after all these years, listen, His yoke is easy. You know, I've been through a lot of things. I've got married. That's a big thing. That's a big step in life. Then I had a kid, and then another kid, another kid, another kid, another kid. You know, I worked at a corporation for 20 years, and it was tough, long hours. But you know what? Still, following the Lord and giving myself to the Lord, I just would say, and living uniquely unto Him for the gospel, it is what? Easy. My yoke is?
Easy.
My burden is?
Light.
Can you believe that? Do you believe that?
Amen.
Eric, if you give yourself to the Lord, is it too much?
No.
My yoke is what?
Easy.
My burden is what?
Light.
Hallelujah. It is. It is. I just can testify. It is. You know, there's no regrets all my life, all the things I've had to go through, because there was a time and time again where I've given myself to the Lord, to consecrate myself, to offer myself to the Lord. You know, the burnt offerings were offered, you know, every day, morning and evening. They were offered on the Sabbath. They were offered at new moons. They were offered at the feast, you know, annually. And then there was special, you know, events. So even the offering of in the Old Testament, the picture was, it was a continual. There was an ongoing offering that was going on. How often should we offer ourselves? Continually, all the time. It's a good thing in the morning to tell the Lord at the very beginning of your day, Lord, I give myself to you.
Amen.
In fact, why don't you get your mouth used to this? Lord, I give myself to you.
Amen.
Okay.
Lord, I give myself.
How about I consecrate myself to you?
Consecrate myself to you.
You know what that means? That means I'm going this direction, and now you know what I'm doing? I'm getting on the altar. And I'm letting the Lord burn me up. Let me ask you this. The meaning of a sacrifice is a meaning of an offering of consecration is sacrifice. You're a sacrifice. But ultimately, you know what the purpose of consecration? Saints, what's the purpose of consecration? The purpose of consecration is that we could work for Him. Did you get that? That you could work for Him. But you know what? He doesn't expect for you to work for Him without Him working on you. So ultimately, to consecrate yourself to the Lord in love to Him, realizing that His yoke is easy, His burden is light. It's a sacrifice. It's well-pleasing to God, and it's to work for Him.
Amen.
And I think you could see from the whole weekend, the Lord is going. He's going through us. He's going through us in prayer. He's going through us in the gospel. But He needs some ones that are willing to be consecrated to Him.
Amen.
We need an absolute consecration to the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we love You.
Amen.
Every fiber of our being.
Amen.
And we give ourselves to You.
Amen.
You would have a way through us. We could be a means for you to move, a channel for you to move, a channel for you to reach the ones that are in, that are going into a crisis eternity. Christless. That always touches me. Consider the ones you know. Consider your friends. And I would say even consider some of the ones you grew up. Some in the church life. They need your care. They need your prayer. Amen. They need your ministry of Christ. Amen. They need the up-to-date gospel given to them. Amen. Anyway. Amen. So I just want to underscore that. Consecration has as its purpose that we would work for the Lord. Do you want to work for the Lord?
Amen.
I mean, after all the things you've heard this weekend, do you want to work for the Lord?
Amen.
Yes. Yes. Jordan, you want to work for the Lord? Hey, it's easy. The burden is light. But you know what? You have to offer yourself. Let the Lord work on you. Let the Lord do something in you. Allow Him to do something in you. For Him to carry out, for the gospel to really to go out. Okay, let's go to the next point. C. Let's read that all together. Uninterrupted abiding in the Lord. Mm-hmm. Isn't that something? Did you get that? Saints, we need to what? I think we all realize. We need to abide in the Lord. It's in our abiding when we reach, when we touch others, the Lord visits through us. He's a going God. He goes through us. But where do we need to be? We need to be attached to Him.
Amen.
We need to be loving Him, abiding in Him, so that when we visit someone, what happens? The Lord visits them. Josh, have you ever been visited by God? You know where you get visited? You get visited when the saints are abiding, they come and they give you Christ. Right?
Amen.
He's a going God, but He needs our abiding.
Amen.
Okay, then let's go to the next point. No, let's look at John 15 real quick. A few more verses. John 15, real quick.
Amen.
Four and five. I think, well, we already read that. Abide in me, and I'm the vine, you're the branches, He abides in me. If you abide, you bear much fruit, and apart from me, you can do nothing.
Right.
Okay, so we saw that. Okay, let's go to D. Fully saturated with the Word.
Amen.
And this is the last main point, okay? This is where this is the second part of my burden. Fully, altogether, D. Fully saturated with the Lord,
we
must be soaked and saturated with the Holy
Truth and fully equipped with the proper divine knowledge so we will have weight, life, and light in our speaking.
Amen. Let's look at Colossians 3:16. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Hallelujah. We all should be familiar with this verse. What is Colossians 3:16? Read it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to God. So let the word of Christ dwell in you, what?
Richly.
To let the word dwell in you, that means to let it inhabit you. Let it just make home in you. Too much of the time, you know what? We're occupied. There's no room. I would even say the Word is always there, and He's just kind of saying, Fred, knock, knock, and you're there. What do you put on the door at a motel? Do not disturb. Yeah. You know, you're busy. You're occupied. So you, like, don't leave me alone. Don't disturb me. You know, because we're occupied with a lot of other things. But you know what, saints? You'll never regret giving yourself to love the Word and being filled with the Word and saturated and soaked with the Word. Being saturated and soaked with the Word, saints, this is crucial. This is crucial. You know, there's these verses in Philippians 2:15 and 16 also. And that's, you're familiar with it. Where it talks about how we're in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation. In fact, I think we need to look at this real quick. Okay, oh, saints, stay with me just for a couple more minutes. Okay? Yeah, Philippians 2, 15 and 16. Let's read them all together. That you may be blameless and guileless, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine as luminaries in the world, holding forth the word of life. Okay, that's good, right there. Yeah, amen. Have a boast in the day of Christ. But the point is, where are you all? You're in the midst, aren't you in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation? Is that a no or a yes? You're in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation. And what's happening among them? It should be, because we are those that go to bear fruit. What do you do in the midst of this crooked and perverted generation? It should be, we all should be what? Shining. Shine as luminaries in the world. The Lord hasn't taken us out of the world. You're in the world. You're on the campus. And you're in the midst of this situation. But you all have the capacity to what? To be luminaries.
Amen.
Shining forth Christ.
Amen.
And what's the key to your shining in the midst of the situation? What's the key here?
Right.
Holding forth the word of life. Okay, let's all declare that. Holding forth the word of life.
Amen.
What do you need in the midst of that darkness? The word of life.
Amen.
Saints, this is a pre-qualification to bear fruit. We need to be desperate. We need to be absolutely consecrated. We need to be abiding in the Lord. Saints, we need the Word of God.
Amen.
We need the Word every day. Otherwise, what are you giving people? What's happening? There's no shining if you're not in the Word. What happens when you go to the campus without getting the Word, Phil? Has anybody seen Phil not shining? Okay, maybe they have. That's okay. But the reason we're not shining is because we're not getting the Word. We need to go with the Word of life.
Right.
At CSUN, what's happening? What are you brothers doing there? Sisters, holding forth the what? The Word of life.
Amen.
There's something shining in the darkness. And that leads me to my last point, okay, saints? We have to look at this. This is in Matthew 26.
Amen.
I'm sorry, I'm just going so fast here. I spent too much time in other things, but please. Matthew 26, 6, verse 6. Yes, some of you are familiar with this. This is a story of Mary. And anyway, you know, Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, and a woman came to him and having about alabaster flask of ointment of great value, and she poured it on the head of the Lord as he was reclined at table. And the disciples saw it, and they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste?" Are you familiar with this story? Here's a woman. Without reading all of it, you have to get into it. There's a number of things that happen. In fact, while we're on it, let's go to one other verse, and that's John 12. John 12, verse 3. Maybe we could all read this. Then Mary took a pound of ointment of very valuable pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the ointment. You know, Mary did something before the Lord went to the cross. And you know what? Listen to me. She was amazing. She listened to the Lord. She had some time with the Lord. She was at the Lord's feet and she listened to Him. And I would say because she loved Him so much, it was her love for Him that she could hear what He had to say. And you know what? Peter, James, and John didn't get it. But she realized He's getting ready to be crucified. He's going to die. She heard it. The Lord spoke it again and again, but you know what? The disciples didn't get it. You know who got it? Mary got it. You know why? She was loving the Lord. And she loved the Lord. And she heard what He said. And she took opportunity before He died to anoint Him for burial. She realized, I've got to get everything I can, all that I have of value. I've got to waste it on the Lord. I've got to take the opportunity. He may go tonight. He may go tomorrow. I've got to pour everything on Him right away. She took opportunity to give, to pour out her love for the Lord in the way of what was so precious. And you know what? The others, oh, why this waste? Why are you wasting all this on the Lord? Has anybody ever told that to you? Yeah. Why are you wasting yourself on the Lord? Why do you go to so many meetings? Anybody told you that? What do you usually say, Phil?
I say because I want to gain more Christ.
Amen. There's something. We want more Christ. We're paying a price. Listen, you could be doing a lot of other things. But what are we doing? We're wasting our lives on the Lord. There should be an amen in us, saints.
Amen.
It's so good to waste ourselves on the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, I love You. Amen. Why this waste?
Amen.
She took opportunity beforehand. Before He died. Well, you know what? Listen, the Lord is coming again. And you know what He needs? He needs young people right now that would pour their lives on Him as well.
Amen.
This is the time. We need to take opportunity beforehand.
Amen.
The time is now. Listen, you guys are in your youth. I think it was even mentioned on the video. Your youth. Seize the opportunity. You only have youth once. Seize the opportunity to pour it all on the Lord. Don't wait till you're my age. My goodness, that would be terrible. To live so many years just doing what you want to do. Now's the time, in your youth, seize the opportunity to what? Pour everything on the Lord.
Amen.
Consecrate yourself to the Lord.
Amen.
Give yourself to the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, whatever you are, whatever you have, give it to Him. Put it on the altar and take your hands off. Say, I belong to Jesus.
Amen.
I belong to Him. And you know what? I just love to give myself to Him.
Amen.
Here's what's awesome to me. You know what happened here? That little phrase. When she poured that out, it says, and it's sovereign, it's here. The house was filled with the fragrance of the ointment.
Amen.
Whenever lives are poured out on the Lord, there is a fragrance.
Amen.
When you saw the video, what did you smell? I smelled a fragrance of Christ.
Amen.
I smelled a fragrance of ones that gave their lives to the Lord.
Amen.
And wasted themselves on the Lord.
Amen.
And you know what? When you see that, when you get around ones that are giving their life to the Lord, you cannot get away from that fragrance. The fragrance filled the house.
Amen.
This is what needs to fill the church.
Amen.
Lives that are poured out on the Lord.
Amen.
We don't need to get into it, but we all realize it's also mentioned what she has done needs to go out with the gospel. We're talking about living uniquely for the gospel and being desperate for the gospel, for having such a life. Well, you know what? The Lord gave Himself for us, but what needs to go out with that is what? We give ourselves to Him.
Amen.
What Mary has done will be told as a memorial.
Amen.
It'll go out with the gospel.
Amen.
What goes with the gospel are lives giving themselves to the Lord. Because He is so worthy.
Amen.
It's not mere words. The gospel is not just some laws or some little things we teach. It is a living.
Amen.
It is a living of lives giving themselves to the Lord.
Amen.
This is what Mary did. And this is what we need to do.
Amen.
All our gospel preaching has to have with it, Fred loves the Lord.
Amen.
He can tell someone about the Lord, but they should pick up. They should realize there's something behind it. You know what it is? That person loves the Lord. There must be something about this Christ that is worthy something of value that I need to find out about. This goes out with the gospel.
Amen.
The fragrance filled the house.
Amen.
The fragrance filled the house.
Amen.
What happens when we're all loving the Lord and absolutely one with the Lord and for the Lord? When someone comes into the house, what happens? What do they get? What do they smell? They smell a fragrance of Christ. You know, in 2 Corinthians 2, it's clear. It says, we are a fragrance of Christ.
Amen.
Okay, now you have to tell your neighbor. Neighbor, you're a fragrance of Christ.
Amen.
So what the Lord needs today, saints, He needs this fragrance. This fragrance needs to go over the whole earth.
Amen.
This fragrance of lives poured out on the Lord.
Amen.
The fragrance filled the house.
Amen.
And you know also something the Lord said about Mary. You know what she said? He said, she's done what she could. She's done what she could for my burial. Wow, she's done what she could. We all need to what? Do what we can.
Amen.
You know what we can do? We can love the Lord and give our life to Him. Even I would say, consecrate, offer, give to the Lord for His satisfaction. That He would use you. The Lord could go through you to the ones around you.
Amen.
This should be our living.
Amen.
This should really be our living, saints. It's not too hard. You know why? Because we're always coming to Him. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. It's the most blessed human life.
Amen.
To give ourselves to the Lord.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Let's just read this. Can we just read the focus? Well, let's read Roman numeral 5 and then the focus. All together. Worth and important. Amen. Anyway,
Our God is a going God, and we need to fulfill our responsibility to go on behalf of the
Amen.
Going
God. Amen.
And answer the desperate call to the gospel to the entire inhabited earth by meeting all the 6 qualifications of fruit bearing.
Amen.
Saints, I hope you all would answer the call.
Amen.
It's a desperate call to preach the gospel. And it's not too hard.
Amen.
Anyway, like Isaiah, I really like that what was presented at the very beginning. Who will go for us? This is the Lord calling us. Who will go for us? Even He's speaking to you tonight. Who will go for us?
Amen.
And hopefully our response would be the same. Here am I. Send me.
Amen.
Let's all declare that. Here am I. Send
me.
Again. Hear my, send me. Amen.